looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
What is this belief that Jesus went to hell when he died?
Yeah, it's a creedal thing. I think it's out of the Apostles'
okay.
Creed. Yeah. So the Apostles' Creed, which is very, very early on, the first couple hundred years, it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
That's where that came from.
So, yeah, from the Apostles' Creed. So when they say hell, what does it mean? It means the earth, the abode. And so that's all that it's saying there. So modern theologians...
No, ground. He was literally physically in the ground.
Right.
Number 5.
How do we know for certain if the Holy Spirit resides within us?
If you're saved. Are you saved?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I hope so, but I have this terrible nagging feeling that I'm not certain if the Holy Spirit resides within me. I know that sounds silly. My problem is, I mean, for people who are, for example, have anxiety or what we call worry walks, but what if I really don't believe them? But what do you do with that? You pray against anxiety.
Sure. And we're not supposed to be anxious, are we? Let's see, I've been doing apologetics, defending the faith for 40 years. I've got a Master's of Divinity website, written lots of books, doing lots of radio talk all the time. And guess what? I have anxiety sometimes as a Christian. Welcome to the club.
Number 4.
When the unsaved die, do they go directly to hell until the judgment, or...?
There's debate on that. And some say Tartarus, so that's one view. But and then some say that they go to hell later and hell's cast in outer darkness. So there's a little bit of debate on that. But I would just say this, that the wicked go to a bad place where there's suffering, agony. When Jesus told the story, not the parable, but the story of Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man, not because he was rich, but the rich man went to a place of fire and torment. So that's where they would go. Now, could we call that hell? I would say so. Is it the final abode? Perhaps. So I just say that they go to a bad place, it's torturous, and it'll continue for eternity.
Number 3.
What's your best assessment of what the first century church looked like an individual congregation, as far as where they would meet, the roles of pastors and elders and things like that? What would that look like from your assessment of Scripture?
Well, just go to the book of Acts and the pastoral epistles. We see them being evangelistic. We see money being transferred between churches in order to help out one another. We see people giving for the Lord. We see those kinds of things. As far as the physical thing goes, they generally met in synagogues on Sundays. That's called the Lord's Day. And there was often a preaching of the sermon, as Paul is recorded as doing in 1 Corinthians 16, for example. and that kind of thing. You, generally speaking, the women would sit in the back of the church, the synagogue building, or a building, wherever they would have, and the men sat up front. And the way it was done back then is that the preacher, a teacher, would sit, and everybody else would stand. I know that a lot of people aren't like maybe you or me, and like to go door to door or have done that. That's pretty intimidating for a lot of people. But I do believe that the more people know about the Lord and the truths of God's Word, then I believe that the more apt they will be during witnessing and more likely to witness.
Number two.
If you don't try to serve the Lord every day in that court, but if you just do a couple things during the week and don't really try to serve Him and you just kind of forget that He's even there, do you believe that that person has a less chance or better chance of going to heaven than someone that has served Him on a daily basis?
Let me jump in. Because what you're espousing there is a false gospel.
Okay.
I don't think you believe a false gospel. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. People can be saved and just be ignorant about certain things. What you do and how many times you go to church has nothing to do with whether or not you go to heaven.
Number one.
Can you answer my question? Do you believe that that's what it says right there in the Greek? Which is what the New Testament is written in. Do you believe that's what it says?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay, so then do you believe it?
Wait a minute.
Hold on. You don't believe what the Bible says. You said you believe the Bible, but that's what it says in the Bible, but you don't believe it.
But that's not His original name.
How do you know it's not His original name? That's what it says. You shall call His name Jesus. My question is, why do you disobey the command of God? You shall call His name Jesus. You judge the Word of God. You say you knew a Hebrew thing. That's not what we have in the Greek. The Greek is what God chose to have it written in. That's what it says, and you disobey it. What else do you disobey about God's Word?
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.